In this episode, you're going to learn how to find the right message to say to your customers, when to say the right message, and how to deliver it.
Welcome back to another episode of the How to Sell podcast. I'm your host, Luigi Prestonenzi, and as always, I'm honored that you have joined us for what's going to be a very intentional podcast. And I'll tell you why intent is a key part of this week's podcast. If you're a long-time listener, thank you very much for showing up each and every week and being part of our community. We value your contribution. And if you're a first-time listener, welcome. We hope you take away some actionable insight that'll help you sell more. Now, I'm really excited about this week's episode because this week, I think with all the automation tools that are out there, a lot of people are getting spam, Dave. And I know that you were one of those individuals just using sequencing tools because, look, our listeners know that you can't sell, and that's why you and I formed Growth Forum so I could help you learn how to sell. And so I think this is a great episode for you this week, Dave, to learn about the importance of intent.
I am getting coached by Van Damme on kickboxing, so I could just get you one in the chin. No, on a serious note, you know, it is a good one for both founders, sellers, and marketers alike, because once you hear who we have on this episode, you're going to recognize his name. I've been a massive follower of this gentleman for many, many years through the great work he's done, geeked out on his content. So it's an honor and a privilege to have Rand Fishkin on the podcast today. Welcome, Rand.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Thank you, Luigi, too. Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah. And, mate, well, just I think before we jump into the intent piece, I mean, you have done amazing things in your career, even working with the likes of HubSpot in the early days before they became an absolute behemoth of an organization. Maybe you can just tell us a bit about sort of what motivated you to get started in the world of entrepreneurship and start your own sort of business.
Yeah, so I dropped out of college in 2001 and loved the internet, was fascinated by it, but was terrible as a web designer, absolutely miserable web designer. Dug my mom and I's small business into almost $500,000 of debt. And that is what turned me into an entrepreneur, because basically we had to dig ourselves out of that debt before my dad found out that we had it. I'm a very accidental sort of entrepreneur, right? I started working for my mom's small business and like doing web design. And then the only reason I got into SEO is because we had SEO subcontractors, you know, that we were working with, and we couldn't afford to pay them. So it was like, Rand, you have to do the work. Like, you've got to learn how to do SEO yourself because there's nobody else. And for years, you know, we were digging out of debt. I was making no money. And then SEO turned into this huge wave that we rode with the blog I started, SEO Moz. That turned into the company Moz, became a, you know, VC-backed software company. We almost sold to HubSpot, as you mentioned. and I had a lot of success with that company, but eventually it sort of plateaued. I stepped down as CEO. I was there a few more years and then left and started the company that I run now, which is SparkToro, which is in the audience research world rather than SEO.
Yeah, awesome.
And I think that's a great sort of leading, Rand. Look, what made you see as an opening there to go down the road of SparkToro? What did you see as a missing gap, you know, from your time at Moz and, you know, that led you down to developing something like this?
Yeah, so I think relatively early in sort of what's been happening the last 6-7 years, especially, I noticed that a ton of people who were searching for products and services, who were being influenced by forms of marketing, were no longer just going to Google. But, you know, Google had been this behemoth for 15, 20 years. Absolutely. Yeah. It's still powerful. It's still a powerful source for marketing, but it is not the only place where people learn about products and services, and fewer buyer journeys are exclusively done on Google. And so seeing that data, right, seeing that people were not just going to Google to search for their answers, led me to this idea of how can I help marketers And you know, product folks and entrepreneurs find the sources of influence for their audience that is that are outside of Google. And I think that's a huge frustrating pain point even today, right? I don't want to pretend that SparkToro has like solved this problem. It has not completely. A lot of people that we talk to were doing this through surveys and interviews, which is, you know, no offense to those tactics. I actually love surveys and interviews. I recommend them to almost everyone doing audience research, but I think they're absolutely terrible for figuring out, you know, which podcasts do my customers subscribe to and what websites do they visit and what are their demographics. Some demographics are great for it, some not so much. But behaviors online, like which YouTube channels they subscribe to, or what subreddits are they reading, or which social networks they use the most. Like those things cannot be well answered by surveys and interviews. That's the problem we wanted to solve.
And it's amazing that you bring this up, right? Because I find, I mean, you're talking more from that. I think every marketer, every business that's looking to market to their audience should look beyond Google. And, you know, if they're creating content, like we're all told, create content. But if you don't know where your audience is consuming that content or what they want to consume, then potentially you're creating content just for the sake of creating content, right? And I often talk to a lot of salespeople, and that's one of the sort of the big red flags that I hear initially. They're saying, well, I'm reaching out. And I had a workshop last week, and I asked them, I said, hey, if you were to have them sitting across the table, what are the top three things that are top of their mind right now? And none of them could answer that question. They were like, well, we don't know the answer to that. I'm like, well, if you don't know the answer to that, how are you then designing the buying journey? How are you then asking the right questions when you engage with them if you don't know what's on the top of their mind? We'd love to know from your opinion, now that you've been working in this space for such a long time, why do you think so many people are reluctant to go down that path of research before they go to market?
I mean, I'll be totally honest. I don't like to do it. It's not fun and comfortable, right? So look, I do a lot of this, right? I reach out to friends and folks in the industry that I've known in sort of the digital marketing world and in the business and tech world. And I'm like, hey, could I, you know, bug you for 30 minutes of your time and hop on a call and talk to you about what's going on in your world and essentially interview you. I did so many of these, probably 150 plus of these before we launched SparkToro back in 2020. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think you eventually get comfortable with it, but it's still kind of like pulling teeth, right? It's awkward. Yeah. It feels a little salesy and spammy. Yeah. You know, it's not organic. It's tough to make that feel thoughtful and empathetic and to provide value to that person, right? Because you're essentially just sucking up data. So look, I completely empathize with people who say, I don't want to do it. I don't understand how to do it. The methodologies are hard. There's all these barriers, right? You guys use lots of automated tools, right? If you want to set up an email sequence in HubSpot, you just do it. Like it's just done, right? It's right there. If you need to set up a newsletter in MailChimp, you just do it. If you want to set up a WordPress blog on a website, you just do it. If you want to do some keyword research, you can go to Moz or SEMrush or Ahrefs and you just do it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to interview a bunch of customers and understand their needs and wants and desires and what's on the top of their mind and what are their sources of influence, no AI is going to help you, right? No. Like ChatGPT can't do it.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that because I had to do that as a body of work for a very large client of ours. And I had to research the CFO. Like the CFO for mid-market organizations was their persona. And I remember I literally had to cold call CFOs to run the interview to build that persona. And you know what was interesting though? I did. I rang maybe 60 and I was able to get 30 to say, sure, I'm happy to jump on a call. But you are right. It was laborious. It was time consuming. I found it difficult. So I definitely understand why people are hesitant. But I tell you what, at the end of that process, the way I viewed that role was completely different.
Exactly. Exactly. Like the beautiful thing is when you have those conversations, I believe this is just how human beings work. We develop empathy for the people that we talk and interact with. right? Yep. And so if you have those interactions, I mean, you can take this to any extent, right? You throw two people on a desert island and you know what? A lot of times they become friends, right? Because you're trapped in this situation together and yep. you get things going. This is one of the reasons that people talk about political divisiveness happening more so in communities where people don't interact with each other than in communities where they do, right? It's just because if you get people together, they start to understand each other. They can see things from another person's point of view. I think that's wonderful and beautiful. And also, it's hard and awkward to put yourself out there, right? I'll tell you, I get nervous just sending the email sometimes where I'm like, gosh, I don't know this person very well. Feels sort of awkward. How am I going to phrase the email in such a way that that sort of strikes the right tone and doesn't sound sketchy? I don't sound like a spammer. And I also don't sound desperate. Like I don't want to come across in all these ways. That's hard. Yeah. It's hard to do.
And no one likes to do it, right? And like you said, Louis, you're actually getting paid to actually do the job.
Yeah.
And even still, you're like, oh, this is awkward. You know, you don't want to do it. It's quite a challenge. I'd love to dive into it, Rand. Like, let's talk about, you know, SparkToro itself. And then, Louis, let's tie it back to how salespeople and founders can use, you know, a tool such as this to help them get lead with insight, to get intent, so it can turn their cold outreach to warm outreach.
That's good.
Yeah. So I am going to suggest that because I am quite uncomfortable selling and I don't like to sort of push my own product. And so I'm going to suggest that the process of audience research is what's more important than the specific tool you use to do it. And
perfect.
SparkToro is, you know, you can go try it for free. It does a lot of these things. It might be useful to you. If it is wonderful, you know, thrilled to have you play around with it for free or with a paid account. But in my opinion, the job of a salesperson and a marketer is to find tell the right message in the right place at the right time. That's essentially your whole job, right? All you're really doing is you are communicating something that hopefully can help a person who's experiencing a problem or a pain point or make them aware of a problem or a pain point that they weren't aware of before. Yeah. And then hopefully turn that into an economic exchange of value where their problem gets solved and you get a return from it. And now you can go solve your problems with that currency, right? So, you know, there's a lot of things about capitalism I don't love, but I kind of love the freedom and flexibility that this provides. So, the right message, I think this is where, Luigi, like like you were talking about, those interviews are so crucially important. What I learn the most from those interviews is how people talk about the problem that they have and the solution that you provide. And if you use the same language that your best customers use to describe the problem and your solution, you will have so much more success. I rarely do this in sales, right? I'm not a salesperson, but I do exactly that with conversion copy, right? Conversion focused copy on landing pages and in emails and in advertisements and, you know, in the presentations that I create. What I'm trying to do is tap into the empathy that I have for people going through a particular problem set and describe it the way they would describe it. If you can do that, if you can, you know, use that language, superpower, total superpower. And if you're describing it a different way, your results are often subpar. Second thing is right place. So for sales folks, I think the biggest value that I've heard for understanding an audience's sort of sources of influence is building that shared connection of like the current zeitgeist of their world.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. So it's kind of like how if you want to talk to, again, I'm not a huge sports fan, but if you want to talk to fans of a particular team and you have listened to the same sort of radio commentary and podcasts and watched the same shows and read the same, you know, sports journalists who've written about the team, you have like a shared language around that stuff. You know what's going on in the world of your team. And so when you sit together at the pub and you have a drink about it, suddenly you're like, that thing he said, I thought that was insane. But this other thing, I really agree with that. And you know, it builds connection, right? And it's the same thing in sales or in marketing or advertising. if you can have that understanding of the content your customers are consuming and shared experience around it, amazing. Especially if you're going to do any kind of direct promotion. So I've done this a few times where I spoke at an event, you know, something like this podcast, right, or a video series, and then followed up with people who saw or heard me there and was like, hey, we had this conversation about this. Here's what's going on here. So I think I can help solve the problem. And the last one is right timing.
So how do you master that
one? Yeah, that's hard. I don't think right timing can be, so hard. I think the only thing I've found that's excellent for timing is people care about certain things before they ever need your product. You know what I'm talking about? Right. So they they're sort of predictors of, well, eventually you're going to hit this problem that our solution can help you with. And if you can talk about those things, the content creation that you guys were mentioning, if you can talk about those things, if you can have email sequencing around those things, if you can be in the places where those discussions take place, that's sort of the timing. And then you wait, you know, you get them on your email list, you get them knowing about your brand, and then when they have the need, hopefully they're contacting you, right? They're coming back to your site, they're filling out the form, they're trying the demo, all that.
Yeah, it's absolutely, you know, what you're saying, I'm resonating with so much because that's a big part of what we talk about, right? We talk about, you know, we often want people that are at the action stage of the sales or the buying journey. Yeah, they're ready to buy. But in most cases, that's a very small portion of the market. And there's the portion that, not just that consideration, but you've got the ones that are that pre-contemplation stage, right? They're at that, I know I've got a problem. Actually, I don't even think I've got a problem, but then your content makes me ask some questions and go, hang on a second, should I lift a lid on what this problem is? And because if I lift it and I see it, maybe I can't unsee it, right? Because it's interesting, you know, I work with a couple of partners from a big fin services firm and professional services firm, and that's what they often say. They say sometimes our buyers or our potential clients, they don't actually want to talk to us because they don't want to become aware of the problem. Because if they become aware of the problem, then they have to take action, right? So it's interesting that you bring that up.
Yep. I mean, I think where the power comes into play here from an audience understanding perspective is if you can identify the sort of full customer journey, right? And say, I know that many customer journeys that result in buying this product that, I don't know, helps with fraud in fintech or whatever it is, those conversations begin in social media discussions, blog posts on certain websites and subreddits all around phishing scams.
Yeah. You're
like, okay, well, if I'm making this up, right? But if those are the places where those things start and you can be a voice in those conversations around what's happening and become a trusted resource, it's a superpower, right? Like you go from being someone who's trying to sell to someone who's trusted to help.
Yeah. I mean, you can see how it really relates there. So look, one use case I've seen before is, you know, a group of people being really active in a subreddit and then interacting within that subreddit, providing value, providing advice. And then when the issue arises for that particular, you know, group of people, they then trust you. Right. And I was only aware of the subreddit through understanding where the type of people that I'm trying to sell to and support actually spend time, right? Which is one of the biggest, you know, hurdles you have. You think, you assume that they're all here. You assume they all read this magazine because the title of the magazine is the CFO magazine. But, you know, it's a particular subset that you're trying to target that may not be in that area. Can you walk us through, Rand, you know, define us, like, what it's important to your buyers? Like when someone's signing up for SparkToro, you know, what are the problem they're trying to solve?
So we actually have a very high diversity of users in terms of what they're trying, what their job description role title is. I would say a healthy amount of agencies, maybe about 40% agencies, 30-35% in-house firms, usually smaller and medium-sized businesses, a few enterprises, and a good number of like government, nonprofit, research, product creators, that kind of stuff too. What ties them together is the problem that they want to solve. So essentially, you know, if somebody says, boy, I really wish I knew all the YouTube channels that interior designers in the United States subscribe to. And I wish I knew which ones in order were more and less popular, because then I can fill in the blank, right? They have some job to do from that. That might be they're going to pitch to be on those YouTube channels. It might be they're going to subscribe and listen to them so they can better understand their audience. It might be they're going to engage in the comments. It might be that they're going to invite some of those YouTube hosts to come speak at their event. It could be that they're going to just take the YouTube channels and plug them directly into their Google Ads account and, you know, reach people that way. All of those use cases are fine. Like, go for it, right? We're here to provide the data, not to tell you what you can and can't do with it. But I would say those kinds of things. Same problem with a lot of folks who, I like to call this the Wall Street Journal problem. You guys will tell me if this is familiar to you, but essentially, you know, you have a client or you have a CEO, a CMO, a chief revenue officer, and they say, hey, our customers all read the Wall Street Journal. I want you to get us in the Wall Street Journal. And you're like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, A, that pitch is going to be insanely difficult. And B, I know that if we one day end up on one article on one page of the Wall Street Journal, it's going to have this much impact. Like, it is going to be just, for those of you who are listening, my fingers are extremely close together. I'm just saying that, like, this whole idea of if only we could get into this one place, our whole business would transform is mind-numbingly oversimplistic and wrong.
Yeah.
And most practitioners know it's wrong, but if you can bring data to that battle and you can be like, hey, you know, boss, team, client, take a look. Wall Street Journal has, you know, whatever it is, a 47 affinity with this customer group, but turns out, you know, this subreddit for fintech is in the 80s. Maybe we should be participating there, right? And look, you can see exactly how many users are on every thread every day. I can tell you there's about 800 of our key prospects who are visiting that subreddit at any given time. Maybe that's the place for us to be. You can see the number of subscribers right in there. You know, all those kinds of things, I think, bringing data to a battle that's historically just been a gut feel conversation is quite powerful.
Yeah, so kind of what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, because some exec or someone in the organization might consume or they might see that that's a great channel to be putting content through, it doesn't necessarily mean that's where your audience is engaging and spending the time or giving you the return, because there are other channels. And that's fundamentally what SparkToro does, right? It enables you to get more guidance and help you plan and direct where you should be focusing your attention from a content circulation perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll give you an example of this that that I really like. Like, I love, one of the things that I love about SparkToro is being able to sort of dispel myths, right? Myths that exist in your organization about who a customer is or what their behavior is. So I was talking to someone a couple of days ago who's helping a client in the wine investing space, like people who invest in wine as a financial instrument, which I thought, oh, that's sort of fascinating. It sounds like, I don't know, fancy billionaires on TV or something to me, but sure, go for it. Like, I drink wine, but I don't. Yeah, like I don't expect that bottle I'm sitting on to, you know, be worth more. Anyway, so I look in SparkToro for the audience that searches for wine investing. And it's sort of fascinating because the person I'm talking to is immediately like, oh my God, yes, this is exactly what I said. There's a little Venn diagram, or sorry, not Venn diagram, pie chart at the top of the results that shows a gender and age breakdown, right? So it's basically, it's showing in this case that it's like 47% men and maybe 39% women. And then, you know, small percent of non-binary folks and some people who don't specify their gender. But this person is like, yes, look at this. The audience is much younger and much more gender diverse than my boss or my client thinks they are. And I can take this to the bank. I have been trying to tell them that new people who are getting into wine investing, the people who are actually searching for the keyword, they are not the 65-year-old multimillionaires. Those people already know about wine investing. They're not searching for the keyword anymore. And so we're not speaking to them with our content when we create content for searchers for wine investing. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That is so powerful to be able to take that to your client and show them you're trying to create content for the wrong audience. And I can prove it.
Just a quick interruption to let you know about a free resource that Luigi and I want to hand over to you. This resource has helped lift close won rates to over 73% on average. Plus, you'll get a B2B sales newsletter that drops weekly where you can learn what it takes to build a repeatable sales process and creating a pipeline full of qualified deals. To get this resource, just go to growforum.io/newsletter or click the link in this episode and sign up today.
The big takeaway for me from this interview, Rand, is that it just reinforces the need to really understand your audience, because it doesn't matter what you're doing from a marketing perspective or from a sales perspective. Fundamentally, we're trying to achieve the same outcome, right? We're trying to get more people into our funnel and progress them to a point of decision so they buy our product or service. I mean, that's ultimately what we're trying to do from a revenue growth perspective. And I think, again, this just reinforces the need that and the desire that we should all have to really understand our audience, understand how they're talking, what are their problems, how can we better understand them so that we can empathize and potentially, like you said, they're not all ready to buy. So potentially there needs to be a part of, from a buying and customer journey perspective, that we need to cater for with different content based on where they're at versus somebody that's down the funnel, already considered, ready to take action. And that I've just, you know, I know a great episode when I've got some notes on my phone, and this has been another great episode, Rand. So really thank you very much for bringing that insight and helping our audience and helping them see things a little bit differently.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Louis, another sick episode there. Rand is an OG in the marketing space. This tool, how would you actually use it, right, in your day-to-day life when prospecting to understand where our audience are?
All right, Dave, that was a really, really insightful episode. And I do want to break it down before we wrap up this session. I want to break it down around how you can utilize the insight that he shared to build your outreach messaging, right? And I think the key for this is you've got to understand your customer. So the biggest takeaway from the whole episode, doesn't matter where you go to find this information, doesn't matter if you use his platform, if you interview customers, you've got to actually know the problems that your buyers face, yeah? And you've got to think about not just the problems, but what are the other issues that the problem actually impacts across their business, yeah? And once you've determined that part, then it's about, well, how do I now build my outreach messaging? Well, it's about thinking, okay, what insight can I leverage? What insight can I share that gets them thinking about the problem from a different perspective, yeah? And for me, this is a game changer. Like if we look at all the results that we've seen from all the different people that are going through the Sales OS program right now, you know, take that individual from Grant Thornton. They leveraged a piece of insight on a particular topic that got the prospect going, you know what, I want to learn more, right? They helped them see something completely different. They got them into the conversation and the rest of the process kind of took care of itself, yeah? So the biggest takeaway as you're listening to this episode, as you're listening to us wrap it up, you've got to have a relentless focus on understanding your audience, understanding the problems they face, and understanding what drives them to take action.